Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness brought to you by Global Schoolwear. School uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger. Hurdle Apparel, high-tech socks. LER, Lower Extremity Review, and MVP Parent Magazines. And UK Health Radio. We got a great doubleheader today. Dr. Gary Sprouse, he's a retired internist. The less Stress Doc. He's the author of Highway to Your Happy Place, a roadmap to less stress. He'll be joining me along with returning Hillary Loftus, concussed student athlete program coordinator, hyperbaric oxygen advocate, and the sports doctor's in with some email, Dr. Bob Wisdom. First, let's welcome Dr. Gary to the Sports Doctor. Welcome.
How's the weather out in Chicago? It's rainy here. I'm in Maryland.
It's a beautiful day. Dr. Gary, give us some background on yourself and the less stressed doc.
Yeah, well, I've been an internist, so a primary care doctor, for the last 38 years. And I just retired at the end of December of 2023, and I'm enjoying my retirement. It's great. But while I was seeing patients, they kept coming in all stressed out, and I'm like, what's up? And it made their blood pressure go up, made their sugars not good, and made them not sleep well, and made them anxious, and made them depressed. And I was like, something's not right here. So I had to figure out some way to deal with this. And as an internist, you know, you're used to treating people with their medications and things like that. But I had this insight into where all our stresses are coming from. So the insight was that, hey, you know, humans have amazing skills. Like, we can envision the future. And we have the luxury of having choices. But they all, you know, I'm used to, as a doctor, things have benefits and side effects. So if I give you a medicine for your diabetes, I go, well, here's the great benefit of it, but it could have a side effect. And so we maximize the benefits and try to minimize the side effects. So what I realized was that humans are really stressed out because of our skills. So we have these amazing skills, but then they have side effects. So I can envision the future, but then I have to worry about what's going to happen. And I have the luxury of having choice. But then I have to regret any choice that I made that didn't turn out as well as I wanted. So when psychologists tell us, hey, we'll just live for today, you're like, well, that's great. First off, you can't do that as a human because we spend way too much time in the future. And second off, why would I want to give up my great skill of being able to envision a future? Because it has a side effect. So what my book talks about is, hey, how do we keep our skills and get rid of the side effects?
Yeah, how do you get on that highway? To the happy place.
Exactly.
You know, for over four decades on the Sports Doctor, we have always included big attention to what I call the mental game. Whether we're talking about the best athletes in the world, whether we're talking about parents of athletic families, whether we're talking about coaches, and of course, between social media and the pandemic, whatever stress levels we were at has all been times a million. And you talk on the Sports Doctor a lot of what I call the new medicine, Dr. Gary, which is to eat smarter, keep moving, and reduce stress. What are some of the bullet points that you could talk about that you find helpful in, I'm tapping into your sports psychology skills here.
So I'm an athlete myself, right? Like, I'm still playing basketball on a weekly basis with my friends. And just this year, because I retired, I used to wrestle when I was in high school and college. And I called up the coach from the high school team and said, hey, would you mind if I come down and work out with you guys? And he's like, yeah, come on down. And my wife's looking at me like, you realize you're like 67 years old. I'm like, what? What's that got to do with it? So here's the new change,
though. As long
as
you got your orthotics in your shoes, Gary.
Yeah,
you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Right, but I don't know if you noticed or not, but women's wrestling has become an emerging sport. So when I got to the wrestling practice, half the wrestlers were girls and half of them were boys. I was like, whoa, that's a big change from when I was wrestling.
Yes, there's no doubt about it. The participation of the girls and from every sport from A to Z has just exploded in so many great ways. It's still going to be interesting to see with some of these real physical side sports, how these girls tolerate.
From my experience, yeah, well, so like I'm watching, I'm wrestling with these girls, and it's like, first off, the high school girls team is called Queen Anne's County High School. They won the state championship this year, so kudos to them. But these were athletes. They weren't like namby-pamby girls. They weren't, but they were just athletes. And it was like, it was refreshing to say, hey, you know what? You're just an athlete. Doesn't matter whether you're a guy or a girl, right?
Oh, hey, listen, Caitlin Clark, look what she's done in the world of, the women's basketball. But the mental side, one of the reasons, Dr. Gary, I co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, was the epidemic in capital letters of youth sports overuse injuries, both physically and mentally. The mental challenges on these youngsters are dramatic, and this has become such a big deal. And my figure skaters over the 25 years ago, they were talking about visualization, and medicine didn't know how to spell it, or meditation. So have you found, as a doctor all these decades yourself, so many symptoms are made worse with stress? Do you find that the medical profession is really, really waking up, and the communities are waking up to the importance of paying big attention to stress, both good and bad?
Yeah, well, I do think they're waking up, but I will say that traditional medicine, like when I practice as an internist, it's like, they've limited what they can do. They if I can't fix it with a medicine, then I'm going to send you to a specialist. And so when I was practicing, I was a way different kind of doctor. So people would describe me as a holistic doctor. I'm like, what? That sounds weird. I'm like, oh, no, but that's true. Like, I knew how to prescribe medicines, but I also knew how to talk to you about how you were worried. So one of the things that I find with athletes is before their events, there's a lot of worry. There's a lot of, and so what I come down to, I was like, when I would say to my patients, they would come and say, hey, doc, I worry that I worry too much. And I go, yeah, well, you probably do, right? So it's like, but what if I said to you, what is worry? They're like, well, it's worry. And you're like, well, okay, well, define it. Well, like they couldn't. Like they would get all, like they thought they knew it, but then when you start trying to define it, they can't. So when I defined worry as, hey, I worry is using my incredible skill of envisioning the future, but then focusing on all the bad things that can happen, and then here's the real key, is then having a fear reaction to those bad responses. So if that's worry, well, then that gives you some ways to get rid of it. And what I see with athletes, before an event, is they worry. They go, oh, what if I don't do well? What if this happens? What if I get hurt? So they're focusing on all the bad outcomes that can occur, and then having the physical reaction as if it's happening right now. And here's the key. There's nothing to make it stop, not until the event occurs. So they can worry about the next event for days, hours, months, whatever, how long it takes for the event to come up. So if you could find a way to worry less, so say use your skills to envision the future, but don't focus on the bad outcomes. Focus on the good outcomes, makes you feel good now.
Yeah. My young figure skaters would, again, this 25 years ago, would be lying down and visualizing their perfect programs without any mistakes at all. And this was, again, something that was revolutionary, it seemed, at the time. I think the idea that these mental skills can be trained, learned, taught, I think is one of the biggest challenges, it seems, in all areas of not only sports medicine, but of life. What's the best website people could find out about you, your book, and your work?
Yeah, so the website is called TheLessStressDoc. And then I have an email at lessstressdoc@gmail.com.
So lessstressdoc.com, correct?
Mm-hmm. DOC, that's it.
Okay, now the idea again that there's good and bad stress, and that we're trying to learn how to deal with the fact that we need to be paying much more attention. Again, and this is what I mentioned before, Dr. Gary, when we were talking about, how the medical profession or the pediatric profession or the school system, et cetera, are starting to tune into how important these things are And, you know, on the one hand, it seems that we're making a lot of progress. On the other hand, it seems that we're still treading water. So many things need to change, don't they?
Well, this is why I wrote my book, right? Because if you go, hey, I just want to get rid of stress, and you don't know where it's coming from, well, then how are you going to fix it, right? So if you're trying to get to your happy place, and there's all these roadblocks, there's worry, there's guilt, there's regret, there's feeling overwhelmed, but if you don't know where they're coming from, well, how are you going to fix it? So we used to take care of people with diabetes, and all we knew about diabetes was your sugar was too high. So our tools were limited. We could just say, well, eat less sugar. But when we figured out it had to do with your insulin and your pancreas and your liver and your stomach hormones and your insulin transport, well, then we fashioned all these much better tools.
What are some of the tools, bullet points, and on the highway to, again, getting to your happy place? What are some of the points that you really, really look to stress?
Right. So first one is first off, stress is now some combination of worry and guilt and regret and feeling overwhelmed. So when you separate it out, like I can't change, like if your spouse dies or you lose a race, I can't change that. It's happened. What I found out was the stresses that are there are because of the worry and the guilt and the regret and the feeling overwhelmed. And those are things I can do something about. So worry, what I tell people is there's a term I use called realistic optimism. So what that says is use your skills to envision the future, but focus on all the good things that can happen. But, and here's the realism part, you can't ignore that bad things could happen. So then, but here's what happens. You can plan for the bad things, but without fear. Fear is where the problem comes in. So if I plan without fear, that's where I think I have a sheet called the Worry Organizer. And it talks about, like, well, what are you worried about? And, you know, why are you worried about it? And how likely is it to happen? And then you have two columns where it says, well, what can I do to make it not happen? And in the last column, well, what do I do if it happens? And the key is that it's all written down. And once you write it down, then it's done. Then you can use all of your brain to try and solve the problem, as opposed to half your brain trying to remember what it is you're supposed to worry about.
You know, the importance of rest and relaxation has become such a big deal. We make a big deal out of it for years on The Sports Doctor. What are your thoughts on, again, somebody spending 10, 15 minutes a day meditating, relaxing, looking to mindfulness? What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely, because one of the things that you see is when people are running around worried about stuff or they're having regret or guilt and having these negative emotions, there's a lot of extra hormones running around, adrenaline, cortisol, and they do bad things to your body. And it's like, so taking 10 or 15 minutes, we all have all these kinds of relaxation techniques, but what you just talked about is awesome because you got two ways to get rid of the stress that you're feeling. One is to do something, so you run around, or the other is to meditate. And that lowers. So it turns out when you're deep breathing, it actually changes the physiology of your body to relax you and reduce the adrenaline that surges around and the cortisol that's surging around. And those are the chemicals that are causing these problems in the long run.
Well, the idea, again, that, you know, the three terms I use all the time on The Sports Doctor, Dr. Gary, is awareness, education, and then action. You know,
yes.
You can't solve anything unless you're aware of the concerns and the problems. And this is why we really want to talk about topics like this particular specialty, because the mental game affects all of us in so many different ways. It doesn't matter what areas. And the fact that there can be skills learned, that you can get better at it, that you could be paying attention to it, this is the education side that we want people to get. Again, whether they are sports parents, whether they're superstars or grandmothers, the idea that if we pay attention, then we can make positive differences in what's going on. And this is the education side that I'm continuing
sure.
to make a big deal out of.
Well, I just finished reading this book on mindset. In fact, I'm going to be a co-author of a book called Mindset Matters, and it makes a huge difference. But in this book, she wrote the book like 10, 20 years ago. Her name's Dweck. And she talks about a fixed mindset versus a growth mindset. So fixed mindset says, oh, I'm just good, and that's just the way it is. So what happens to a person in a fixed mindset, they don't think there's anything they can do to get better. But with a growth mindset, you go, oh, I can get smarter. I can be a better athlete. I can train mentally. I can train physically. And what it says is there's going to be some... they call it a U, right? So, like, you start out good, and then you get worse for a little while because you're trying something new. But then as you continue to practice, then you get better and better and better. And so you have to be willing to deal with a little bit of frustration, maybe even a little failure. But in the long run, you get better. And you're like, yeah, that's – so having a growth mindset is critical to being a great athlete, to being a great student, to being a great worker,
sounds
right?
Sounds like that reality optimism that you mentioned a little while ago. That's a great term. I like that a lot, reality optimism.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I like it too. So that's good. Because it tells us, hey, you know what? We can look into the future. And, maybe there's some bad things that can happen, but I don't have to focus on it. Because when I focus on it.
So many things made worse with the mental game. I knew the time would fly with you. Give me the site again that people could find out about you and your book and your work.
Yeah, it's called The Less Stress Doc. And my email is lessstressdoc@gmail.com.
Fantastic stuff, Dr. Gary Sprouse. Again, the book is The Highway to Your Happy Place, a Roadmap to Less Stress. Dr. Gary, thank you so much for joining me. Hold on. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. Goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parent's perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil. I want to welcome back Hillary Loftus, concussed student athlete program coordinator, hyperbaric oxygen advocate. Hillary has also been involved in the whole educational world of the Help All Warriors Foundation. Hillary, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. It's a pleasure to be here again.
Give us some quickie background on yourself and the whole hyperbaric oxygen world that you've been involved with now for quite a while.
Sure. Basically, let's see, I'd worked in health promotions previous to my move down to Florida about 10 years ago.
And your dad was a cardiologist, right?
Well, actually, I grew up, my father was the first cardiovascular surgeon in Stamford, Connecticut.
Right.
So in my own career, I worked with PTs, OTs, and speech therapists. And I actually worked in my competitive sport growing up was sailing, racing sailboats. So I'd actually worked in the sailing program industry for over 15 years, developing competitive racing programs for youth sailors and teaching adult sailors, adults how to sail, and hiring young high school and college kids that sailed and getting them certified and having them teach the youngsters the sailing skills. When I segued to healthcare, I worked with, PTs, OTs, and speech therapists as a physician's rep and program developer. And I'd heard of hyperbaric oxygen therapy in the hospitals for wound care and radiation necrosis and things like that. But I'd never heard of it until moving to Florida and hearing about it or brain injuries, actually from a family doctor down here, who's now actually on the board of Howe Foundation. And that's where I learned pretty much everything that I know about medical grade hyperbaric oxygen therapy for brain injuries. And Howe was started 10 years ago before I came, about actually a year before I came, to help veterans with their brain injuries and post-traumatic stress through
huge problem, huge challenge, that whole post-traumatic stress syndromes with the veterans.
Yes, absolutely. You've probably heard of something like 22 suicides a day of veterans, and because of their post-traumatic stress and their traumatic brain injury. But there's more and more awareness now than there was back in the day when I first started at Howe, when it was first starting. There were three of us, and we had the funding, but we did not have any veterans. I mean, we'd have one, we were kind of scrambling around looking for veterans to treat. And then, because nobody knew anything about it, fast forward 5 years later, there was a waiting list of veterans, and states in the United States, some of our states are starting to pass bills saying that the Veterans Administration needed to tell veterans that hyperbaric oxygen therapy could help them with their brain injuries. So fast forward to today, there are now 12 states that mandate the VA's discussing hyperbaric oxygen therapy with veterans, and some of the states are paying for hyperbaric oxygen therapy for veterans. So really come a long way. And then 4 years ago, our executive director of Howe Foundation asked if I would start a concussed student athlete program because, same thing. It's brain
concussions
injury.
Is such a huge topic in sports and in youth sports. Didn't surprise me when you were starting to see, again, exciting success regarding, again, the whole concussion world with the hyperbaric oxygen treatments and proactive treatments. And has medicine started to pay more attention, again, because there's such concussion awareness to a program like CSAP or concussed student athlete program?
Yes, definitely. It's been tough the past, since the pandemic, right, on sports and medicine. But we now have five very patient-centered, well-respected MDs on our concussed student athlete medical advisory committee, including Daniel Cantor. Dr. Cantor is the chair of the concussion committee for the Florida State High School Athletic Association, and Dr. Joe Maroon, who I think you've interviewed on your radio show,
yes.
who was the team neurosurgeon for the Pittsburgh Steelers for 40 years, and three other very well-respected doctors. So that, you know, we're starting to do more and more. We meet with the advisory committee once a quarter, and meeting again in June, and we're going to talk about...
Well, I remember, you know, years ago when you were first on the show with the sports doctor, we talked about the challenge of facilities being available that included hyperbaric oxygen. You know, which hospitals, which centers, where could you go for any of this type of treatment? How's that going with availability? It's funny, podiatry, you know, hyperbaric oxygen for wound care has been around forever, but the mental side of it, so how's the facility growth been going?
Well, good. I mean, Howe Foundation, we now have, I think it's 18 or 19 HBOT, you know, medical-grade HBOT facilities around the country that we partner with. And as you know, there are a couple hospitals that do treat brain injuries now for veterans, that some of our very high-level military people have, you know, been able to make work with the hospitals to make that happen. But mostly, unfortunately, brain injuries are not yet treated in most hospitals, unless there's a clinical trial or something. So it has to be at an independent facility. And Howe Foundation makes sure that there's always an MD present. You know, we do a lot of due diligence on each facility, but there are more and more facilities. And as a former sports mom, I mean, my son played baseball and soccer all through high school. And I would like to know that there's a place nearby where if my child got concussed in soccer or football or cheerleading, that, you know, I could get them to treatment within, you know, half an hour drive at the most.
Yes. Now, what's interesting in English, again, hyperbaric oxygen in English enhances healing, calms down inflammation, and that's this area of expertise regarding, again, whether you're talking about trying to help heal a wound. Of course, Michael Jackson made it famous. He said it was the only thing that allowed him to sleep, you know, with the hyperbaric oxygen. But really, you're talking, and the earlier the better has been your experience with these youth concussion programs regarding making a difference, because still today, that's one of the biggest challenges. There is no definitive timelines. There is no really, it's even difficult to diagnose concussion. Mm-hmm. But I think we've come a long way, baby, in these areas, haven't we?
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And as you said, we do like to get them right away, you know, within a week of injury, because that's when the inflammation is the freshest and the, you know, chemicals in the brain, the toxic chemicals that are produced when there is a concussion haven't had a chance to kind of run rampant in the brain and, you know, scar the brain, if you will. That's not a medical, you know, not a clinician, a physician would explain a little bit differently, but that's kind of a concussion, you know, for dummies. But so we like to get them right away because it takes fewer sessions to treat. Anywhere that's their first concussion, we even had a high diver that only needed two sessions. We got her within a week. And then she was cleared by her team physician to dive again the next semester. And then on the other hand, we've had kids, had a 10-year-old that needed 10 sessions, but it was a month away from his injury, and he'd really, really been suffering, and he'd been hospitalized twice.
Yeah, and these symptoms, again, could be everything from loss of sleep, from mood changes, from all sorts of different signs that might be a mystery many times to any parents or coaches. What's the site that people could go to find out more information about either Howe or CSAP?
Sure.
Or both.
It's www.howe Foundation, H-O-W, stands for Help Our Wounded, Foundation, SF, as in South Florida, .org. And that's where we're based, but we are nationwide. As I said, we have, you know, facilities all over the country that we work with.
Yes, when we had the doc on again from the, with his history with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he was talking again about his own world, you know, with team positions and football and that whole scenario. Good luck to you regarding getting, you know, information education out years ago when it came to the, you know, the National Football League denied there was any even connection in any of it for decades. But there's been lots of very, very positive changes in those areas. I think where, again, from junior high school, you know, club sports, some of these kids. How young are you seeing? You mentioned the 10-year-old, but the idea of the concussed student-athlete program, roughly how many kids are you dealing with?
Well, as you said, we do like to get them, you know, especially my focus this year is really on the young ones, because the younger they are, the more vulnerable their brains are. So we like to get them, we're starting an educational push really in the middle schools. And so because, you know, there's a lot of programs in the country, or there's a lot of organizations, sports organizations that are talking about and promoting, you know, no tackle in football until age 14, no heading in soccer until age 14, no checking in hockey. And this is why. It's because their brains are so vulnerable. And, you know, if a kid loves sports and keeps playing, they could rack up a number of concussions by the time they, you know, finish high school or college. And that can lead concussions, a lot of people don't know, but it can lead to depression, anxiety, and even suicidal ideation.
Well, that's where the education comes in. Again, you know, when we talk about the three word topics that are so key on the Sports Doctor over the decades, give or take a few weeks, is number one, awareness about what we're talking about. And number two is education about what we're particularly talking about. Number three is action, making some sort of positive differences. Again, you know, concussion, as far as, especially in the youth world, was a lot of pediatricians and medical people didn't know how to spell the word 25 years ago. It was a real, real mystery. Now there's tremendous awareness, including the treatment side of things. Have you found, for example, that the pediatric community and the youth sports community is more and more open to the education side?
Yes, absolutely. You know, we're really promoting that, the education and the awareness. And even, I know, let's see, in Maryland, I think, and this has to do with student mental health, which is a big, big issue.
Keep that
these
in mind. We want to talk more about it. We're going to come back with Hillary Loftus, the whole concussed student-athlete program world, after a break. So, Hillary, hold on. We'll be right back. It's the Sports Doctor.
Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his three decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER, Lower Extremity Review magazine, one of Sports Doctor's key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent with the Sports Doctor is In article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com.
Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, we are back. Welcome back. It's the Sports Doctor, and we are talking with Hillary Loftus, returning numerous times, concussed student athlete program, the Helping Our Wounded program, the use of hyperbaric oxygen, and all sorts of brain-related situations, including, again, concussions. Hillary, you were talking right before the break about how you're really looking to raise awareness, whether it's in the pediatric community, the young athlete community. I mean, there are traveling teams, club teams with these kids, whatever their sport, soccer, tennis, at 10, 11, 12 years old.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. We're working with a little 10-year-old travel soccer girl right now. She was severely concussed. Unfortunately, the coach decided that the girls and boys should scrimmage together at age 10. And, you know, there's such a size and strength difference at that age and, you know, lack of control and everything. And so a boy...
Don't tell that to the girls, though. You want to compete.
No, yeah. Well, that's it. But, when you're older and experienced, you have to think for them, right? Because they're also competitive. But anyway, so a boy kicked a soccer ball really hard. By accident, it hit her in the temple, knocked her down. She was out for 10 seconds and, you know, severe concussion symptoms. Luckily, you know, the parents did the right thing. They took her to the hospital to check for brain bleed or a fractured skull. She didn't have that, but she had a severe concussion, vomiting for 24 hours and the whole thing. And then when she found us and she heard about us from the mom of another 10-year-old lacrosse player who'd had a severe concussion 3 years ago. So she said, you know, you've got to call Howe and get her into the hyperbaric oxygen therapy chambers. And so, you know, we're just treating her now and she's doing so much better. But parents, they don't even, you know, they don't know how easy it is to get a concussion. And a lot of the very well-trained and certified coaches don't
Athletes today, Hillary, they're faster, they're bigger, they're stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Rules
yeah.
have to change. One of my past guests, is his world is girls lacrosse, and he can't get them to include helmets. He's been arguing forever.
I know.
One of my past guests, Heather, with the pink concussions, the whole... a separate category mm-hmm. of female concussions compared to male concussions. So it's become, again, with the challenge. My first guest today, you know, retired the world of stress. He used to wrestle, he mm-hmm. said, and when he went into the wrestling oh, practice mm-hmm. with one of the present coaches, he said half the wrestlers he saw were girls. So
mm-hmm.
this tremendous mixture regarding mm-hmm. all of these ages and levels of athletics, where, again, you know, the safety has become a big, big deal. It seems that coaches,
yes.
school systems, pediatrics, I think, are becoming colleagues of yours, although mm-hmm. sometimes mm-hmm. begrudgingly.
Well, you know, it's come a long way, right? And
yes.
relationships take time, and it takes time to develop trust. And you know, you can send people the research, but they might not have time to read it or, you know, but, yeah, it's really come a long way.
But
as a matter of fact,
particular groups, the marriage of veterans, wounded mm-hmm. warriors, and young athletes is a fascinating combination,
mm-hmm.
again, about the all brain-related situations. You know, brain mm-hmm. health is a gigantic topic, even mm-hmm. without concussions. Be interesting to see how helpful hyperbaric oxygen might be in so many of these other brain-related situations.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes, that's what I was thinking too. Because you know, PTSD is really
big time.
You know, it's huge, and that's a brain-related issue. And I'm not a clinician. I'm not a neuroscientist or neurologist myself. But I'm wondering if you know a lot of the mental health issues that
what about autism
and depression that a lot of our students are suffering these days.
How is the insurance world, you know, medicine is always insurance, insurance, insurance. How has the insurance world reacted coverage-wise to the world of hyperbaric oxygen and concussion in your experience?
Well, as I said, there are 14 diagnoses that are covered by insurance, including, you know, as you know from being a podiatrist, diabetic non-healing wound care, but not yet is our wounds in the brain covered by insurance, unfortunately.
Amazing.
So, yeah, the Howe Foundation and the people, you know, that work with other organizations that also work with veterans and hyperbarics, that we all have to raise the funding to pay for them to get help because,
yeah, you need John
any
Stewart.
Medical treatment is expensive. What's that?
I said you need John Stewart with all of his veterans work. In so many different areas to jump on the bandwagon with all that publicity. But that's
amazing. Yeah, we would love a celebrity. We would love a celebrity. And as a matter of fact, one of the organizations that we're partnering with this year for the Concussed Student Athlete Program called Sports Philanthropy Network, you know them, Roy Cassell, he's in Chicago.
Yes.
Yeah, so he and Kayla.
Former guest.
Yes, and they work with the NFL, and I'm writing grants right now, you know, for our program, and in a couple of my grant requests, I'm asking for the funding to send us to the Super Bowl next year, so we can get the word out, and you know, there are opportunities to get out in the media at the Super Bowl, so I'm really hoping that some of our funders will be able to fund that request so that we can get the word out as well as, you know, funding more treatments.
Again, you would think the either extreme, let alone, you know, that the anything involved medically that helps PSD with veterans, you'd think that insurance would be a tremendous partner in some of these things, let alone the world of youth sports and whatever. And sometimes it's very, very surprising when people realize, what do you mean this isn't covered? Especially once it's shown to be helpful and effective, you know, with very, you know, hyperbaric oxygen, unless the machine hits you in the head, there are no side effects, right?
Right. And, you know, that's why, you know, there are certain contraindications, but there are just a couple. And that's why you want to make sure that you have, you know, since it's independent right now, you want to make sure that you have a clinician on site and a good evaluator to make sure, you know, you don't have a collapsed lung. That would be a contraindication. And sometimes if someone's had a broken eardrum, they might not be able to do it, but like concussions, each broken eardrum is different. And we had
sure.
kids that had
I knew
broken
the time
eardrum
would fly with you
a year ago.
Give us the website quickly people can go to for information.
Sure. It's howfoundationsf.org.
All right, howfoundationsf.org. Hillary Loftus, thank you so much for joining us. Hold on, Hillary. Be right back, everybody. Sports Doctor.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world. And hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Introducing Hurdle Apparel Socks. Are you ready to step up your sock game? Hurdle Socks go above and beyond by adding unrivaled support and cushioning with their new Matrix support technology. By using an incredibly thin, anti-odor, anti-perspiration, shock-absorbing web or matrix that's incorporated in between the fibers of their socks,
Hurdle is introducing the first socks with an internal structure to support your feet. There is an immediate difference as soon as you wear them in terms of cushioning and support. Walk on and walk easy with Hurdle socks. Go to hurdleapparel.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, everybody, we are back. It is the Sports Doctor Is In segment where we preview some upcoming guests and topics. We throw in a little Dr. Bob wisdom, answer a few emails. Long time tennis teaching pro, now is the coordinator at the Raleigh, North Carolina Racquet Club, Tim Halligan, coach of so many great juniors, including his kids, will be coming back to join us. Then a Chicago area physical therapist, Jim Judge, will be popping in. Following week, one of our faves, Gina Pongetti. Gina, the whole gymnastics Olympic program. She'll be heading to the Olympics. She's been there before. She's one of the leading sports therapist with Achieve Sports Medicine Rehab. And then Andrew Hahn will be joining us, and we'll be talking about some of the different aspects, again, in areas of the mental game, one regard or another, world of stress, mental performance. You know, my Dr. Bob wisdom this week, want to talk to everybody about being fit properly for their shoes. It surprises a lot of people that probably 40% of the population, youth population, senior population, athletic population, aren't fit properly. People are amazed by that. I'm still amazed by that stat. A lot of times it's width sizing that is the concern or problem. One of the reasons years ago I always liked New Balance, besides they were one of my sponsors, was they included width sizing and all sorts of shoe sizing, whether it was athletic shoes, whatever it happened to be, walking shoes, running shoes, cross trainers. The post-pregnancy with the women population, many times there are changes of a size and a half possible after pregnancy. So many times women are fooled by thinking they're in the same size. Or again, adult men, older men, still remember that, hey, you know, I used to be size 9.5. They don't realize that now they might be 10.5 or 11. So we want to make sure that you aren't ordering shoes and not being fit for them as often as possible. Pay attention, including the kids, not assuming that they're the same size that they were. Rule of thumb is that you should have about a thumbnail's width between the longest toe and the end of the shoe. This is one of the pearls that the sports doctor will throw out for you. A few emails. Jerry says, is foot type inherited? You know, Jerry, I'm glad you asked that question. Probably 75% of the time we see inherited characteristics, absolutely. A young boy or girl is flat-footed like their parents. We might be seeing bunion signs in that youngster whose mother and grandmother had bunion deformity, which can be related to the foot mechanics. So absolutely, we want to pay attention to parents or grandparents and their particular foot type and what problems they might have had in the past. And the famous areas might be hammer toe development, corns on top of the toes, knurling toes, and or that bunion deformity, the gradual dislocation of that first metatarsal joint where we have that tendency developing And the earlier we pay attention to that, many times I have found orthotics one of the biggest weapons to be introduced, the earlier the better, in that young girl, especially if her mom and grandma had bunion problems, bunion surgery. So absolutely, whether it is high arches or excessive supination or excessive collapse of the foot, excessive pronation might again be part of that inherited characteristic. Steve says, I'm a 40-year-old runner. I've been dealing with shin problems on and off for a good few years. You know, Steve, persistent shin splints, and shin splints is not a medical diagnosis, because shin problems could be a stress fracture, could be tendonitis, could be muscle inflammation, usually the inner side of the lower leg between the ankle and the knee is the area of problem, although it can also be the front of the shin or the lateral side. But the point I want to make to you, Steve, is that 80% of the chronic persistent shin problems are foot-related. For 40 years, I've been putting orthotics in runner shoes with persistent shin problems with great success, especially added to strengthening of those areas and shoe selection. The particular tendon group that controls the collapse of the foot, imagine you are landing on your heel as you pass over the foot and the foot's going through pronation, which is a triplane motion of inversion, abduction, and rolling in all at the same time, the tendon that controls the velocity and control of that muscle is the posterior tibial tendon. That's why in medicine sometimes it's considered to be the posterior tibial tendon distress syndrome. Often, if the feet don't hurt, medicine misses this, whether it's physical therapy, whether it's orthopedic surgeons. So you want, Steve, to see podiatry and pay big attention to these particular situations. Quite often, I will tell a runner, walker, who's dealing with this, to get into some over-the-counter supports as soon as possible, but that's not a prescription orthotic. Prescription orthotic is our best shot at optimum alignment of the foot-ankle complex. And this, again, combined is very, very, very helpful. Quickly, Pat says, my 12-year-old daughter is a serious figure skater, and I want you to talk a little bit about orthotics. Orthotics enhance almost all skating activities, Pat, by proper alignment. So this is something, if your daughter is a serious skater, consult with podiatry. Has had great success, not only in dealing with problems that we see in figure skaters, the arches hurt, the ankles hurt, the knees hurt with the girls, but performance, stability, out of time. Thanks, everybody. Catch you next week. Sports Doctor.